Chapter 15. I've been preaching there for several weeks, and probably going to preach a few more weeks out of this chapter. And you know, you cannot exhaust the Word of God. Amen. And it's just been on my heart. And I know today is Mother's Day, but you know, I've never been real good at preaching messages on occasions. Sometimes I will do Easter, sometimes I'll do Christmas, and occasionally I have done a Father's Day or Mother's Day sermon, but you know, if it's on my heart. But you know, it's the Lord's Day, amen. And I just want to be obedient to the Lord to preach whatever God tells me, amen. Not just fall in sync with just something that just to be doing it. Can I get a witness on that? And I'm telling you that because the title of the sermon this morning is The Love of the Father, and I'm preaching it on Mother's Day. So that's about as backwards as you can get, Brother Laddie. But I remember one year on Mother's Day, I preached on hell. God just told me to, and that didn't have anything to do with mothers, amen, unless they need to be saved. But, you know, it's just be obedient to the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. And I couldn't get this message off my heart, and I thought, well, you know what, I'm just going to preach what God told me to preach. I know you don't care, and you just want me to do God's will, and I want to do God's will this morning. So Luke chapter number 15, if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God in prayer. Luke chapter 15, if you're not able to stand, that's perfectly all right. Look with me in verse number 20. The Bible says, "And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." Heavenly Father, I ask you this morning, God, to give me liberty. I pray that you would touch us and fill us afresh and anew. Lord, I don't want to do anything to call attention to ourselves in any way. So I ask you to guard our tongue, our thoughts, our mind. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit do what needs to be done. Save the lost and reclaim the backslid this morning. And may the will of God be done. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. In preaching this text, and particularly this story this morning, in the past weeks we have focused a lot on the younger son in this story, and rightfully so. But this morning I briefly do not want to look at the son as much as I want to look at the father. Now I will say this, that we see the son's resurrection in verse number 20. The Bible says, "And he arose." He put some feet on his prayers, and then, as one preacher said, he dropped the pail and jumped the rail and hit the trail and missed hell. Amen. But we see the son's resurrection. He finally got up and went about what was in his heart. And then there is the son's return. The Bible said in verse number 20 that he came to his father. So he arose, but he went to his father. That's where every sinner needs to go, is they need to go to their father. Amen. That's where every saint needs to go, is we need to go to our Father. And I want to say this morning, not only the son's return and his resurrection, but we do see the son's relative here, as the Bible said that he came to his father. So this portion of this story, it would be more about the father than what it is the son. And I want us to focus on the father this morning, because the part of his character that is seen in this text is something worth looking at, and it is the love of the Father. I want to preach on that subject a few minutes this morning, on the love of the Father. You know, I'm glad, as the songwriter said, or the little kid's song, it says that there is a Father up above who is looking down in love, and I'm thankful for the love of God this morning. One songwriter said, "It is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It reaches beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell." The love of God, how wonderful the love of God is. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 13, he said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Romans 5 and verse 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And we all know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting everlasting life. 1 John 4:19 says we love Him because He first loved us. You and I could have never loved God had God not loved us first. He loved us before He created us. He loved us before Jesus died on the cross for us. He loved us before we ever knew Him, before He ever saved us. And I want to say this morning, I'm thankful for the love of our Heavenly Father. Amen. If sinners need to know anything, they need to know this, that God loves you this morning. When we come to this text, I want us to see a few thoughts about the love of this Father. Number one, I want you to see love enduring in this verse. The Bible said that He arose and He came to His Father. Now that is no short statement this morning. What I mean by that is that we read it and we rejoice in the fact that the Son arose and He came to His Father. But I remind you that He'd been away from His Father for a very long time. He had been to the far country. He had wasted His substance in righteous living. A famine had time to come into His life and arise. There was time that passed where He went to the citizen and joined Himself to that far country. There was a time that He was out in the field and thought about feeding Himself with the husk that the swine did eat. I mean, there's some time that is taking place here, and from the time that He left the farm to the time that He decides He's going to get up and go to His Father and return. It's just a few short verses for you and I, but I remind you that it had been a long time that He had been away from the Father. And during all that time that boy was out living out in sin and wasting his substance every day, living a righteous lifestyle, all the while the Father's love never faltered and never failed. He loved that boy as much when he was in the far country as what He did when He was on the farm. He loved him from the day that he left and loved him all the way till he came back. You see, the boy had changed and a lot of things in his life had changed, but this Father still loved him. Now I want to say, sinner, God loves you. He loves you while you're lost. He loves you while you're out in sin. You think about all the years and the time you've wasted out here in this world. Do you realize that God loved you enough to let you get up every single morning? He loved you enough to have breath in your body. He loved you enough to let your heart beat another time. He could have let you dropped off into hell and went to hell, but He loved you in spite of it. The Father's love and endurance. Hallelujah. Sometimes we look at sinners and we wonder that they defy God and they curse God and they live wickedly, and we wonder why God even lets them live another day on this earth. Well, it's a wonder God would let any of us live. You say, why does God let people live like that and just keep on going? Because He loves them. I see the heartache of His Son's farewell when He gathered everything together. That boy never even told his father goodbye. He just packed up and walked out the door and left, but he didn't leave alone. The Father's love went with him. The heartache of His Son's farewell. He experienced the heartache of the far country. You see, the great question is, did the Father go to the far country? Well, He didn't go to the far country physically, but I'll tell you, there's a part of the Father that went to the far country with that boy, and it was his heart. Amen. Man, for no child goes out to the world that their father and their mother doesn't, their heart doesn't go with them, and they break every day. I'm telling you, if you're away from God this morning, you ought to think about your mom and dad. You ought to think about the tears that they've shed for you. You ought to think about how much they care for your soul. I'm telling you, you ought to get right with God, number one, because you need to. Number two, because you ought to. But number three, you ought to think about your mom and dad. Don't break their heart. And if you broke their heart, then get right this morning. You say, my mom and dad's already in heaven. Well, get right with God. They're looking down this morning. Now I'm telling you, this boy, he goes out to the far country, but love endures the heartache of the far country, the heartache of his son's farewell. Hey, that father, his love endured during the heartache of the famine. Amen. Can you imagine how the father must have felt when he too heard that there arose a famine in the land? The Bible says that there arose a mighty famine. It wasn't just a normal famine, but I would say news traveled far and wide about the famine that was in the far country. And can you imagine that father being there hearing the news that the famine has not knowing if his son was dead or alive, not knowing if he was okay or not. He had to live every day not knowing what condition that son was in. You say, what carried that father? It was his love. For love produces hope, doesn't it? The greatest of love, faith, and hope is love, but love produces hope. This father had hope that this son would get right with God. Why? Because he loved that boy. You see, a lot of people may go out in sin and live out in sin, and others may give up on them. I'm sure there was people that gave up on this boy, wasting his substance. Others, probably servants, and others, the brother definitely gave up on him and said, there's no hope. He's not coming back. He's not going to ever get right. But I'm telling you, that father never gave up. You know why? Because the love of a father and the love of a mother never gives up on their children. No matter how far out in sin they go, they still got that hope that today could be the day that they walk down the aisle and they get right with God. I'm telling you, listen, if you're away from God and you get right this morning, you're not only going to thrill the heart of God, but you're going to thrill the heart of your parents this morning, and you ought to want to live right. Amen. But this love, it endured. I see love enduring. And then I see love expecting. Notice the Bible said in verse number 20, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He saw this boy a great way off. That tells me that his love not only endured, but his love was expecting this boy. He was looking for this boy when nobody else was. I see the father's son. This boy is a great way off, not just physically in distance, but he's a great way off spiritually. He's a great way off in his devotion as well as he is his distance. And I want to tell you, there's people that sit in our church week in and week out, and they're a great way off spiritually. They may be here in their body, but they're not here in their spirit. Their mind's a million miles away. They're thinking about another life. They're thinking about living another. They may be here this morning just kind of getting through the service, but they've got plans. They've got ambitions. What I would say about this young man is that his heart left the farm far before his body ever did, and the father could see it in his eyes. You know, a man of God can look in the eyes of people and that you preach to week in and week out, and you can see that far look in their eyes, and you know that's just a matter of time. They're just looking for an exit route. They're just looking for a way out, but this father, he saw it in his eyes. Now I tell you, when you looked in the father's eyes, you know what you saw? You saw love. Amen. His father kept looking for him. He saw him a great way off. I see the father's son. I see his sight. He saw this boy before the boy saw him. Perhaps the boy didn't see him because his head was down as he's coming home repentive. Perhaps the boy didn't see him because the tears that was in his eyes. He may have wept his way all the way back home. It blurred his vision. But the father saw him before he saw him. You know, God sees you this morning. He sees me. Proverbs 15:3 said, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees everything about us. He sees every day that we've lived upon this earth. He saw us when we got up this morning. He saw us before we got up this morning. He'll see us when we leave. He's watching us, where we go, the things we do. He's watching our life. People can hide sin from certain people. They may hide it from a lot of people, but you'll not hide it from God. He sees everything. He saw this boy. He saw him coming down the road. You know, I think God longs to see some people come down this aisle and get right with God. I don't know what you're doing this morning. I don't know if you see God, because I can't see your heart and I don't know your mind. But I know God is seeing you right now. I don't know if you're looking in God's direction, but I know God's looking in yours, just hoping, loving, and praying that you'll walk down this aisle. Wouldn't it be great if 15 people got right with God this morning? Hey, I know it's Mother's Day, but it don't have to be tight and dead because it's a special day. Hey, it is the Lord's Day. Can I get a witness right there? And there ain't nothing going on this afternoon any more important than what we're doing right now. And we didn't come to get out. We come to get in. Can I get a witness on that? You say, how long are you going to preach? Till I'm done this morning. Amen. And I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. The Father is looking. The Father is longing. God wants somebody to walk down this aisle and get right. If you're away from God, the Father's looking at you. He's longing. I see the Father's sight. He saw him when he was a great way off. You say, I'm far away from God. He sees you. And then I see the Father's sympathy. He has compassion. Notice the Bible said in verse 20, but when he was yet a great way off, his Father saw him and he had compassion. Sinner, the Lord will have compassion on you this morning if you'll come to him. Backslider, the Lord will have compassion on you. You say, I've been away from God a long time, so had this boy. But you don't have to be away from him another day. You see, if you'll repent and mean it, God will show compassion. I'm talking about not playing games. I'm not talking about coming down here trying to impress nobody. I'm talking about not trying to come down here because you got in trouble about something or you're just trying to get somebody or something off your back. But I'm talking about really in your heart of hearts this morning, you know God loves you and you know you need to get right with God and you know that God wants you to get right with Him and you're tired of living the way. This boy got tired of living the way he was living. You'll never get right with God till you get tired of doing the things you're doing. Amen? And I'm telling you, if you keep on living the way you're living, some bad trouble is going to come in your life just like it did his life. Amen. Sin will take you further than what you want to go this morning. Amen. It'll cost you more than you want to pay, and it'll keep you longer than what you want to stay. Just like we see in this text this morning. This boy comes home bankrupt, broken. Amen. I mean, he comes home with nothing. Amen. But I tell you, thank God he came home. Amen. And when he come home, he found a father that was full of compassion. I'm talking about love, enduring, and love. Of expecting this morning. You say, would God take me? Oh, He loves you. That's why He'll take you. There's not a parent in this room that no matter how long your child has been away from you, if they came home, now if they came home sassing, you're not going to put up with that. Can I get an amen? But if they come home broken, you would take them just the way they are. Without a shirt on their back, you would take them. I see love enduring, love expecting, and then I see love exciting. You notice the Bible said that when he saw him, he not only had compassion, but look at that little phrase there, and ran. I about shouted last night over that. He didn't just have compassion, but he ran. When I think about him running, I think about the distance that he ran. He was a great way off, the Bible says. And think about the direction that he ran. He ran to that boy, not away from that boy. People think God wants to run to God. God ain't up here like this. He's up here like this. He's got his arms stretched out. God's not sitting in heaven saying, well, you've been such a bad person. You've been so wicked. You've been so terrible. I don't want anything to... No, God's not like that. God's got his arms out like this saying, come. Come on. Amen. You may not have nothing. You may be broken. You may have been bad, but just come. I'm telling you, he didn't run from him. He ran to him. Hallelujah. The distance that he ran, the direction that he ran, the desire, consider the desire in his running. He did not wait. He did not hesitate. He didn't wait for that boy to take another step. I mean, when he saw him, before that boy laid eyes on him, the Father already saw him. Love was enduring. Love was expecting, but love is excited. Hallelujah. You say, would God save me? Would God take me back? If I'm backslid, he would be excited. You know, the teaching of the rabbis, whenever a son went away from his father, when he walked away from his father, if he came home, when they would come home, the villagers would go out and they would begin to throw dirt and accuse them and shame them, bring up all their accurate things that they had done. They would accuse that prodigal as he would come home, and they would shame him as he came to the gate of the city. And the father would not come out and see the son. The son would have to sit outside the gate of the city for days in shame and disgrace because he had went away. And finally, the Father would come out. And when the Father would come out publicly before all, whether it be the servants, the friends, or whether it be the village, that Son would have to stand before all those people, and He would have to repent of every one of His sins one by one. He would have to name them and repent openly before them. And then after He had repented, the Father would give that Son a list of things that He would have to do, He would have to perform in order to be accepted back in. And only then He would be known as the shameful Son that had forsaken His Father. And when I read that, I thought to myself, this Father never gave the villagers or the servants a chance to get to that boy. Middle Eastern culture, those that were men of honor did not run. They wore long robes, and to run would mean they would have to either gird their loins up, or they would have to dirty up their robe of royalty. And so those men of honor would never run, because it was scowled upon. It was seen as a disgrace or a dishonor for a man of such honor to lower himself and run. But you notice when this Father saw him, something overrode the rules and the regulations of the rabbis. I'm telling you, that Father ran to that boy before anybody else could accuse him, before anybody else could shame him. That Father took on the shame. He took on the disgrace. He took on His own sin and came to where that boy was. Hallelujah. He came to where he was, and He wrapped His arms around him. He ran to him. Hallelujah. Oh, I remember the day when He ran to where I was. He came to me, the songwriter said, when I could not come to where He was. He came to me. Hallelujah. He ran to that boy, and He wrapped His arms around his. The Bible said He fell on his neck. If I wouldn't hurt you and me, I'd just fall on your neck this morning. But I'm not going to kiss you. Don't worry. Amen. You know what He did when He fell on him and kissed him? He covered him. He covered that boy. He covered that boy with His own righteousness. Nobody could accuse that boy. Nobody. That boy was filthy. That boy was dirty. That boy was, he was wicked. But I'll tell you, when you looked at him, you couldn't see the boy. All you could see was the Father on his neck and covering him. I want to tell you, when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me not worthy and not as I am this morning. I want to say, thank God that love is exciting. Hey, sinner, the good thing about going to hell is you don't have to go there. There's a Father that loves you this morning. People, I saw this question the other day somewhere. It was on the title of a book, and I think it was in obviously a good book, but it said, the title of that book is, why would a loving God send people to hell? Well, a loving God don't send people to hell. People are going to hell because of sin and Satan. And a loving God gave the only Son He had so that nobody would have to go to hell. That's how much God loves you, sinner. And I'll tell you, if you're backslid, shame on you 1,000 times this morning. I don't care what your reason for being backslid is. I hope the Holy Ghost of God puts you under so much deep Holy Ghost conviction right now you can't hardly breathe. Amen? You say, why would you say that? Because God has been too good to you for you to live. You have no excuse to be backslid. You can sit around and you can just you can soak and wallow in your own self-pity. But the bottom line is, God wiped the slate clean this morning. His mercies are new every day. He let you get out of the bed. He let you be born in America. He let you hear the gospel. You ought to be thanking God. You ought to be living for God this morning. Hallelujah. Love. Love exciting. I don't know if that excites you, but it excites me. And love embracing. He fell on his neck, didn't he? When he fell on that boy's neck, it speaks about the Father's closeness. People think that because they're a sinner that God wouldn't come near them. Or the devil will say, because they have backslid, you can never get right with God. That's not true. All you got to do is take one step in His direction. He'll come running. This boy, no doubt, the rags, the filth of the hog pen, the stench of the world was reeking all over him. He was dirty and nasty and smelled like the world. But the Father came to where he was, his closeness, his compassion, his completeness. If you read this verse, it's one of the greatest verses of the text, and I'm going to tell you why. Because it really reveals how much the Father loved that boy. Because all he wanted to do was hold him. He just wanted to hold his son. I've seen parents whose children has went to the world and broken their parents' heart. I've had young people sit in my office, and while their parents sat there and tears falling off their face, they sat there stone cold. Like this boy. I believe some of them not even saved. They're deceived. Some of them, I don't know how, if you're saved and the Holy Spirit's living in your heart, I don't know how you could watch your mom and dad just break and you not even be touched by it. I tell you, I want to say this morning. And I might be talking to a young person, I might be talking to a middle-aged person. But I want to say this morning. You cannot break your parents, your pastor's wife, your church. You can't break the heart of people that have loved you and get by with it. You're not going to get by with it. You're not. There's a payday. Your chickens are coming home to roost one day. And I know this morning while I'm preaching, I know beyond as sure as I'm holding on to this pulpit, I know God is dealing with people this morning. I don't know what it'll take. Lord God, I don't know what it'll take to get some of you people to get right with God. I hope it don't take a famine or a funeral. But some of you, you've heard so much preaching and you ain't going to budge no matter what I say, but that's okay. That's your prerogative. But I tell you, there's a payday someday. You said it this morning, and I walked in, and as soon as I sat down, you said that, and I thought, Lord, God, you know what you're doing in this service. I don't care if it's Mother's Day or Father's Day or any other day. It is the Lord's Day. Amen. I've watched too many people destroy their lives thinking, Brother Brian, they're going to get out there and they're going to show their mom and dad. They're going to show their pastor. They're going to show their, hey, we're, and I'm not bitter at any of those people this morning. I feel sorry for that. Yeah, every person that's ever went out there to the world, I don't want an apology. I don't think a lot of parents, now you, if you've went to the world, you need to apologize to your parents. Yes. But I don't think any parent that loves or any pastor or pastor's wife that loves people, we don't want an apology. I want you to get right. That comes with it, but that ain't what we're looking for. But I tell you, there's people out there today in this world, they're bitter and they're angry and they're still blaming everybody. You know why? Because it's their own fault. They got out in sin. And their own foolish pride. They just won't repent. They won't say they're sorry. They won't ever say it was my fault. They just always try to find a loophole. And because of that, they're miserable. They're just miserable. You'll never get right with God until you take ownership of your own sin and stop blaming everybody else and take it for yourself. Love embracing God. God loved this father. He loved this boy. I thought about this. When he embraced that boy, these tears run down that boy's face. And these tears run down that father's face. And them tears are mingling together. That's what happens when people get right, isn't it? I mean, it's a beautiful sight to see to see a family in an altar that's got right with God, to see somebody come home that's been away from God. I tell you, I really believe God is ringing some people out this morning. And it'd just be so wonderful if every backslider and sinner just took the mask of religion off and got right with God this morning. But I can see them, their arms wrapped around each other. That boy can't say anything because that father's just loving on him and kissing on him. He's just weeping, and that boy's weeping. You got two kinds of tears going on. You got tears of repentance and sorrow, and you got tears of joy coming together, mingling together. And isn't that the way it is whenever people get right with God? People don't care about what you've done. They don't care about how you've lived. The devil will tell you that. They're not sitting around keeping a tally sheet. We'll just be glad if you get right with God this morning. Love embracing, love enriching. You see, the whole purpose of Jesus telling this story, he was telling it to the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees would say, well, for somebody to get right, they need to go through all them steps I just mentioned earlier. Because their purpose of repentance was all about shame. Let's shame that boy. You come down here, let's shame him. You announce it, and I believe you ought to confess your sins, but they were all about, let's just see how much we can shame you. Let's see how much we can humiliate you. God's purpose in repentance is not to shame you. It is so that He can forgive you. The Father needed no list. All He needed was the boy to come. God doesn't need you to come down. I remember a man that got saved one time in our church. He was down here forever and praying and praying and praying. And I said to him, I said, did the Lord save you? He said, I'm not done yet. I said, okay. He prayed some more. And I said, did you get it settled? He said, I'm not done yet. I said, hey, he said, it's going to take me a long time. And I said, why is it going to take you a long time? I'll never forget, Brother Light, he said to me right there, not right there. He said, well, I need to tell God all the things that I've done wrong. I said, you don't got to tell God all the things you've done wrong. He already knows them. I said, all you got to do is tell God you're sorry for the things that you've done and for who you are and that you want Him to save you. He looked at me, I mean, Brother David, he looked at me just shocked. He said, that's all I said, that's all you got to do. He already knows everything. The Father knew everything. He bowed his head and said, I mean, just started weeping, God, I'm sorry. And I'll tell you what, in just a second, he quit crying and a big old smile come on his face. You say, what is a peace of God? Love, enriching. He forgave his son. He put a robe on him. He fashioned him. He killed the fatted calf. He fed him. Love, enriching. Love, enthusing. The Father, look at what the Father's reaction is in verse 23, and I'm about through this morning. He said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat. Look at this. And be merry. You know what the Father wanted everybody to do? He wanted everybody to be happy. To celebrate. Hey, sinner, the devil will tell you, well, if I come down there to the altar and I go down there and I pray, what's everybody going to think? Well, I'll tell you, we're all going to be merry. We're not going to shame you. We're not going to look down at you like you're... No, we're going to do the same thing with you that everybody did with us when we got right. We're going to be happy about it. Love. Enthusiasm. And then love explaining. Look at verse 24. Look what the Father says, because He doesn't say it just once. He says it again later. He said, for this My son was dead. He says this boy was lifeless. But now he's living. He's alive again. He said he was lost, but he's been located. He's found. I want to tell you this morning, sinner, if you're here and you're lost, and you'll never get saved until you first get lost. But if you're here and you know you're lost this morning, you don't have to leave lost. You can be found. Found in Him. Found in Jesus Christ, your Savior, the one who died for your sins this morning. I believe if you'll just get out of your seat and come to this old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming. Lord, would You save me? He'll save your soul this morning. And backslider, if you've walked away from God and you you know, you're not out there physically, but in your heart you're there. Or maybe you are out there physically. Maybe you're doing some wicked things that you know God isn't pleased with. Maybe you're engaging in some things that you know that you're a child of God and you know it's not right. I'll tell you, if you'll come this morning, you know what God will do to anybody that will come down this aisle? He will open His arms wide open. He'll take anybody. He'll take everybody. He'll take you. But you have to make that choice. I'm not going to come to your pew. I'm not going to drag you down this aisle. Neither is God. You're going to have to make that choice this morning. I wonder why we stand. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed.